God bless you all. So we're going to talk about fear again. We talked about this about 10 months ago, I guess it was. And the Lord has brought it back up to me because we're under attack again. Now, 10 months ago, we were still well into COVID. And now we're kind of into where COVID is just kind of going to be with us in a lighter thing forever. We have to deal with it just like the flu. And the devil doesn't like the fact that people are going to get comfortable anything, so he brings along inflation. And now he's running on food shortages. And here in California, we've had tremendous rainfalls with some floodings, with people losing houses and things. And the devil's not done. But the bottom line is we can't be afraid of whatever the devil does. Okay. Now, last week, the Bank of England went into a cryptocurrency. And China's in a cryptocurrency, which means they can monitor every single transaction anybody does anywhere at any time. So it's obviously we're getting closer and closer toward the ending times. If not, it's going to get more and more dangerous as we go forward because of all the challenges and freedoms that the powers that be are going to try to take away from us. That being said, we cannot let fear attack us. We have to believe that God will show us every step of the way how to get through everything, as he's always done through the history of the world, okay? So let's review the first part we taught May 22nd, 2022. When faced with a challenge, a Christian should operate in faith, not in fear, okay? Now, what's the faith acronym? Factual, authentication, indisputably truthful in heaven, okay? Now, think about that for a second. If it's true in heaven, it's true on earth, okay? We have to receive the truth of heaven. And when Satan tries to lie to you, you got to say, no, that's not true. I need the truth of heaven. Okay? Now, Hebrews 1:1. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, authentication, the title deed, which means ownership, of things we hope for, of being indisputable proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith is perceiving as real fact, as truth, what is not revealed to the senses. Of course, that's from the Amplified Version. You know, we bring from heaven to earth what we hope for through prayer, using faith as the bridge to receive it, because we believe it was ours the second we asked for it in prayer, even though we could not see it in the spirit's realms yet. Think of the farmer that goes out to plant a crop, and he plants that crop. He knows in his mind's eye, a few months down the road, it's going to flourish into whatever it is. It'll be wheat, it'll be corn, whatever it is. If somebody plants an apple tree, he knows in 2 or 3 years he's going to be getting apples off of that tree. Okay? He has the faith that when he puts something in the ground, that that's what's going to come up. We must have the faith that whatever we say, just because it's not instantaneous, just because it's not magical, and I hear a lot of people want the magic wand of God to wave over the circumstances and create a way. He doesn't always do that. Sometimes he has a process that we have to go through. Okay? So when you plant that seed, we have to believe that it's going to come back to fruition. Okay? All right, what is fear? We've used this one a lot. False evidence appearing real. Okay? False evidence. False evidence. Okay? You are of your father the devil, the desires of your father want you to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there was no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. Okay. And then 1 John 2:21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So what is in the Bible is true. We know that God has given us the power and the authority to overcome all challenges. But if we're challenged not to walk in that power and authority, then Satan will use fear to attack us. I mean, think about COVID for a second. Now, I'm sorry for all the people who died. And I'm sorry for all the people who were tremendously sick, and they're still having physical challenges of it. But from a satanic viewpoint, Satan's goal was to try to put the whole world into a state of fear. That's what he wanted. Could he do that? And he came pretty close. People were so afraid. There are people that won't have dinner with Pastor Karen and I because of COVID challenges. Because they're afraid. Now, hopefully that changes in the future. But right now, they're locked down in their houses. They want nothing to do with anybody. They don't take any chances. And they're basically a prisoner because of fear. Okay? Now, I've been blessed. Because my job is considered essential services, I've been out in the public the whole time. I've had to take the stance that COVID will not hurt me in any way, shape, or form. And I've been out in the grocery stores. I've been out doing the shopping. I've been out doing the things I need to do. And I've been meeting with people. And I've never had 1 ounce of challenge because Pastor Karen and I have spoken the affirmations taught by ABC that COVID will not come near us. And I believe that to be a fact. And I've had no challenge in any way, shape, or form. So the bottom line is, I'm thankful to God that he put the faith in my heart to do what needed to be done these last few years. As we go forward, we all have to have that kind of faith. I don't care what the challenge is coming against you, you're going to need that kind of faith. Because most challenges start with being afraid of something. Okay? Number two, believing what will come to pass. Being in faith is believing God's promises. Mark 11:24. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Okay? It doesn't say think about it. It doesn't say hope for. It says believe. Okay? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay? B. Being in fear is believing the devil's deceptions. All right, let's focus on 2 Corinthians 11:3-4 and 13 in the Amplified. But now I am fearful, lest that even as a serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholehearted and sincere the pure devotion to Christ. For you seem readily to endure it. If a man comes and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or if you receive it from a different spirit than the spirit you once received, or a different gospel than the one you received and welcomed, you tolerate all that well enough. For such men are false apostles, spurious, counterfeits, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles, special messengers of Christ, the Messiah. And it's no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it's not surprising if his servants also masquerade as ministers of righteousness, but in their end will correspond with their deeds. Now, the bottom line is that Satan is a cunning liar. He is very good at what he does. He has worked this skill for millenniums. He's developed it. He knows how to whisper in the back of your mind a thought. We have to stay vigilant to be careful of that. We cannot become tricked by him. We have to know our Holy Spirit so well that we know the difference. We've used the analogy before. If Pastor Eric Karen calls me up, I don't have to say, who is this? I know it's my wife. Okay? We all understand there are people that we know who it is. We must get to the Holy Spirit so comfortable, that when something is wrong, we know it's not that. Now, I used this analogy before, but for those you may not have heard it, okay? In the banking industry, they teach you how to handle counterfeit money. They don't show them all the different kinds of counterfeits. They show them the real thing over and over and over and over. And when they're counting money, they can feel and look at and know it's a bad bill. They do it that quickly. Satan has a gazillion different lies. You can't know all of them. But if you know the Holy Spirit, if you know his voice, it doesn't matter what lie he comes up with. I mean, these new printers today are fantastic what they can do. They can make paper that seems and feels almost like a real dollar. But the people who know their business will know the fake ones and pull them right out. Okay? So we must get that good with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Revelation 12:9. So the great dagger was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was cast to the earth, and his evil angels were cast out with him. Now, who cast Satan out? God. Does that mean God's more powerful than Satan? Yes. Who's on your side? God. Who are you made in the image of? God. Does that mean you're more powerful than Satan? Yes. Okay? Accept this fact. All right?
Amen.
I don't care how big he looks when he comes at you with whatever attack it is, you are more powerful than him. Now, I used to like martial arts a long time ago, and there was this fight I saw one time, and there was a real slender, built like the Apostle John, only younger, and he was going up a guy who was built like Schwarzenegger in the day, only the guy was probably 6'8" and bigger. It was amazing. And with the first round, the big guy pulverized the little guy. And suddenly the little guy stepped back and figured out how to get a kick to the big guy's nose. And he hit him again and again and again. And after about 15 of these kicks to the nose, the big guy was down and out. Why? Because he knew what his strength was. He knew he couldn't match this guy's strength for strength. He didn't try. He used his ability, his speed, his quickness, to hit the enemy where he needed to do. And that's what we must do. Hear the Holy Spirit so we can hit the enemy where he needs to be hit at and push him out of your life once and for all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay? He doesn't belong there. All right. Let's look at Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you dressed as sheep, but inside they are devouring wolves. Now, I know all too well about this one. I used to have several businesses, and my business plans were very, very good. Unfortunately, I trusted two people who came to me and were going to help me with my business, and they ended up embezzling everything. So it's my fault that I did that. And going back on one of my favorite verses, what the devil meant for bad, God will use for good, losing all my money was the best thing that ever happened to me. As strange as that may seem, I was not doing very good spiritually. I was living a very bad life. And when I lost all my money, I turned back to God. And I can't thank him enough for allowing that to happen to me. But the bottom line is this here. Had I been in tune with the Holy Spirit, I would have seen these two charlatans. I would have not gone into business with them. And I would have had a life with the Holy Spirit. I would also have the businesses to date. Okay? So we got to be careful what's going on there. We got to follow through and pay attention, okay? Numbers 14:13. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report to the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. Now, 12 spies go out, 10 come back with an evil report. The people believe the evil report. Because they believe the evil report instead of the word of God, which told them the land was already given to them, they all died in the wilderness. Now, conceptually, I can't even figure this out. God just defeated the biggest, baddest army on the earth for them, and now they're afraid to go into land and fight something else. I don't personally understand that, but, you know, the bottom line is, come on. This is God now. Now, I want you to think back at the victories God's given you. Next time a challenge comes up in your face, say, hey, my God did this for me. He'll do that for me now. Okay? Joshua 2:9-11. And Rahab said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us. Devil's afraid of you.
Yeah.
He's afraid of you, knowing your power. The Israelites didn't realize the strength and power they had, so they died in the wilderness. Had they would have walked in and been a cakewalk. Jericho was ready just to surrender to them because they were already afraid. Get this. God is on your side. You are on God's side. You're invincible. Okay. So terror has fallen upon us, she said, And all inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. We've heard now how the Lord has dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings, the Amorites, who were on the other side of the Jordan, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither they remain any more encouraged, anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and on earth beneath. Okay? So a devil's lie to 10 people convinced millions not to take their promised land. So here's my thought to you. Okay? The devil made those people afraid. They were all afraid. They didn't take their promised land. I want to tell you what your promised land is and what devil's lies have been told to you that's stopping you from reaching your destiny. This is your time. We have a short time window now. This is our time for the Christians and people of the Lord to take their destiny back. Okay? Right. Fear tries to introduce doubt and unbelief. The comment they thought the giants perceived the Hebrews to be weak as grasshoppers was definitely an assumption based on fear of what they saw. They had no evidence how Rahab's people perceived them. Just the lie of the devil. The truth was told by Rahab that people were afraid in terror that the Hebrews would annihilate them. Okay. So Satan used fear and starved off the Israelites for 40 plus years. Okay. Rahab's people thought the Hebrews were spiritual giants with a ginormous God who is bigger than any giant on earth, which is true. Fear made them not have faith in the Lord's report, but in the devil's report of what was spied out of the land. Their eyes were skewed to see giants that have seen that their God is bigger than those giants had already given them victory. We already have our victory. Why are we afraid? Why are we challenged with fear? We have our victory. We have it. I don't care what challenge you're going through. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's physical, emotional, psychological. I don't care what it is. Our God is bigger than that challenge. The rebellious cursed themselves, and what they feared came upon them because they believed the evil report instead of the report of the Lord found in Numbers 14, verses 11 to 45. Now, Pastor Karen and I ran a mission called the Healing Rooms. And people came all the time with the doctor's report. And we had to convince them that the doctor's report was an honorable man, but he was doing things worldly. We had to take them from worldly to spiritual, okay? But that report often had these people in so much fear. They could see a piece of paper written on them that says, so-and-so has four-stage cancer, okay? Now, God bless the doctors, okay? They're doing the best they can do with what they know. The biggest challenge was getting people over fear. We tell them what God believes. Yeah, but you don't know my condition. Okay, let me explain it. God knows your condition. Okay? I don't care what the doctor said. God knows it. It doesn't matter. Okay? Fear is about, well, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? Okay? All right? What if John can't pay his rent? He goes to God. What if Sally's diagnosed with cancer? And she goes to God. Because God doesn't have a what if in the Bible. There's no what if that I can find in the Bible. The answer is yes and amen. Okay? So we go to God, we're going to get victories. The more victories we have, the more strength we have, the more courage we have, the more we push fear out of our lives. Okay? All right, great. Assumption and fear cause people to want to go back into bondage, abuse, slave, poverty as slaves instead of faith in a good God who has set them free, bringing them into a promised land of blessings. They did not want to fight the good fight of faith when they go back to their sins. Hebrews 10:38 says, now, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, listen to me, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Okay? We can't go backwards. We push forward with the Lord. Okay? The consequence of that sin is to go back away from God in rebellion and disobedience could cause death. Zechariah 3:13, The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness, which means no sin, and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed their flocks and lie down, sleep well, and no one shall make them afraid. Okay? Number four, obeying the loudest voice. Being in faith and obeying God's voice, who we hear the loudest if we dwell in Him, and He dwells in us. Hebrews 10:39. But we are not those who draw back to perdition. There's that word draw back again. But those who believe to the saving of the soul. Okay. Now, 4a, being in faith is obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit and thoughts. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Now, you turn on the news, you see problems. There's not many newspapers anymore today, but if you pick up a newspaper, it's mostly problems. You go on the internet, there's problems. There's the war in Ukraine. There's China's doing this. There's so-and-so's doing that. And there are problems out there. It doesn't matter. Go back to your Bible. Read your Bible. Okay? The Bible is all about our people overcoming every challenge ever thrown against them. It's one victory after another, after another, after another. If you read the last chapter, we have total victory. Okay? So we have to stand on the word. This word is the truth. I don't care what they're saying. You know, my favorite people in history is Winston Churchill. Germany was flying the planes over, bombing London, destroying England, had complete control of the skies. Okay? What did Winston Churchill do? He sent people out to start charting the tides. He was preparing for the invasion of Europe because he knew that they were going to turn this thing around. And every word he ever spoke was positive encouragement to the people of England and to the United States and the world that they would overcome that terrible Nazi dilemma that was over there. He knew. His faith was contagious. The King of England came alongside him and said, I support you in whatever you want to do. Because he had the faith and courage to go forward. He wasn't afraid of Hitler. They were ready to fight them in the streets of London if they had to. That's what we must be. That kind of a heart. Okay? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have a faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. John 16:13. I apologize for my challenges on some of these numbers. B. Being in fear is obeying the voice of demonic thoughts, which convinces and tempts the person to be deceived. Going back to false evidence appearing real. That includes assumptions and intimidations. Okay? James 1:14-15. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away from his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire is conceived, he gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Now, one of the keys to being out of fear is keeping away from sin. Because when you're away from sin, you're going to hear God's voice better. Okay? We have to be cognizant of that. I worked for a company that wanted me to lie to clients, and I told them I wouldn't do that. This guy screamed at me and says, little white lies don't matter. I looked him back in the eye and said, yes, they do. And I walked out the door. Okay? I couldn't be pushed into even a little white lie to deceive a client. These people had no problem. Their consciences were seared. They didn't care. Okay? There's a lot of people in the world who will do that. They will give in a little bit. Just a little bit. And when you give in that little bit, then it's a little bit more. Then it's a little bit more. You know. We must stay vigilant, hearing the voice of God. For when you know God is calling the shots, you will have no fear at all. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, carnal weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasons and every product of lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience, when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secure and complete. Fear is a stronghold which needs to be cast out by God's perfect love and humility, not by high-minded in pride, analyzing every thought before you speak, and do it before you should be in the mind of Christ. We hope you learn to bring that thought into captivity by standing in faith to the obedience of Christ. In other words, what would Jesus do? So when the thought comes to you, you got to think, is this me? Is this the devil? Is this God? Does the devil kick it out right away? If it's me, say, God, do you want me to do this? Get a confirmation. If he says no, kick it out. Only do what the Lord tells you to do. Let me repeat that. Only do what the Lord tells you to do. Isn't that what Jesus did? I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father says to say. If it's good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us. So we have to get that attuned to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Number 5, yielding to the one given the most influence. Being in faith is yielding to the Holy Spirit's influence. Romans 15:13. May God of your hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling with hope. Okay? So, when you're filled with joy and there's a challenge, it doesn't matter. You can handle it. Oh, by the way, let me explain this to you. Listen to me very carefully. There's only one place on earth where people have no challenges. It's called the cemetery. Okay? I'm serious, yo. If you're alive, you're going to be dealing with something. Satan's going to see to it. Our job is to overcome those challenges continuously. And the ones who are in the cemetery, either A, they're in heaven, or B, they're in hell, and it's too late for the rest of it. Okay? So we have to overcome while we're here on earth. All right? Great. Amen. Now, the pandemic was caused by the devil, the snake bringing fear and terror, lies and curses and death as he initiated in the Garden of Eden. This pandemic was horrific for a lot of people. But what the devil meant for bad, God uses for good. There's a lot of waking up Christians right now who were complacent before. And a lot of people are saying, okay, it's time to get serious. And that's a good thing. Okay? So whatever the devil meant for bad, God will use for good. This is becoming my favorite verse right now because I like the fact that when something happens, okay, how's God going to use this to benefit him? It all works together for his glory, okay? Now, the enemy may attack if you're fearful, but you will not be harmed if you operate in God's power and authority and faith after repenting of fear, okay? Sometimes a challenge comes upon you. Sometimes the initial thoughts of being afraid are going to challenge you. I get that. Repent of it. Repent of it and get rid of it. Then stand in faith of God. God, what do you want me to do? He will never lead you astray. Okay? Remember this. Satan will eventually be burned in the lake of fire. He's going down. There's no hope for him. He's going down. He's made his decisions. He's pushed so far. He's going down. Now, what he wants to do is bring you down with him. Your job is to say, no. Now look, when you take a life-saving course, one of the things they teach you is don't let the drowning person pull you down. You can't let yourself get drowned saving somebody else. That does nobody any good. Okay? Satan wants to pull you down. He wants to pull you down in the pit of hell with him. You'll say misery loves company. I think that's where that comes from. Satan wants to pull people into hell with him. All right? Now, do not fear, but be in faith, because the Holy Spirit's purifying fire keeping you. You'll be safe from the devil, the snakes, curses, because you've been redeemed from the curse of the law through the blood of Jesus. Now, B. Being in fear is yielding to the influence of the snake, shame, intimidation, trauma, dread, anxiety, stress, worry, pandemics, mental health, and others. Okay? Intimidation's a big one. A lot of people are trying to intimidate people to do something they don't want to do. Okay? Don't be intimidated. There's nothing that they can do to you. Okay? Because God is on your side. And more importantly, you are on God's side. Now, if any of these fears are challenging you on this list, present your own personal list of fears. I invite you to get out a piece of paper and think of any and all fears that you're currently being challenged with. Okay? Go ahead, start writing them down as I'm talking the rest of the way. We're going to repent of fears and break curses on those for you later on. Okay? Now, yielding to the snake's poisonous thoughts of fear can affect you only if you allow it. All right? Karen, my wife, she said this in the pulpit, had a cancer diagnosis. The doctor was fully assured that she had cancer. And when she says, "I do not have cancer in the name of Jesus," and she spoke it back to the doctor, he tried to call her mom to convince her mom to convince her that she had cancer. She wouldn't receive it. Okay. When they went into the exploratory, they found no cancer at all. Okay? Because she wouldn't let the thoughts of fear affect her. Okay? Now we're at a point we don't even go to doctors. But at that point in time, it was earlier in our career. But, you know, the bottom line is this here. All right? When the thoughts of fear come, don't allow it. Okay? My dad was great at this. Whatever happens, we'll handle it. That was his attitude on anything that I came across in my life. You know? "Hey, Dad, this is wrong. We'll handle it. Dad, that's wrong. We'll handle it." Okay, and we did, you know. I guess when you saw the hell he did in the Pacific, there was nothing to bother him anymore. You know, it's like, you know. His little attitude was, "We'll handle it." And, you know, a lot of the World War II guys had that kind of attitude. When there's a challenge, they just figure out how to solve it because they'd solved so many problems going through the war. And they grew up in the Depression and came to the war. All they did was handle problems the first part of their lives. We have to take that kind of attitude, too. Hey, we're a promise, we'll handle it. Who's we? God and me. Yeah, it's that simple. God and me will handle any problem that comes up against us. Because the promise of the devil, God knows how to handle it. That simple. Okay? All right, fear can challenge affect somebody's voice and body. You'll see them lose their voice, their hair standing up, cold sweats, paralysis, pain. Fear can challenge someone to affect someone's mind and emotions. They can't think, confusion, panic, trauma, paralyzing fear, dread, depression, dysfunction. Fear can challenge affect someone's heart spiritually, result in physical challenge, building strongholds or grips the heart. It can seem like a knife going through the heart physically. You ever heard the person, a heart skips a beat? Okay. All the way to heart attacks from fear. Okay. Luke 21:26. Men's hearts are failing them from fear. In the expectation of those things which are coming from the earth, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Okay? It's not me. It's God. And I give all glory to God. Okay? Fear can challenge to put someone in bondage like the Hebrews wanted to return back to Egypt. All of us were in bondage due to a fear of death. Hebrews 2:14-15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might, Jesus, destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all in their lifetime subject to bondage. Okay. Jesus has the power over death. That simple. Jesus destroyed him who had the power over death. Jesus has the power to live and remain. And number six, partnering with power. Being in faith is partnering with God's power. Behold, I give you the authority, power, in the New King James Version, to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you if you stay in faith. Now, a lot of people drop off the back part of that phrase. If you stay in faith. They stop with, nothing shall by any means hurt you, period. One thing about God, he's a completer. He puts words in there for a reason. okay? If you're not in faith, you've opened up a door. You must stay in faith. So when the doctor comes to Jane Jones and says, Jane, you got a count of cancer, she has to stay in faith regardless of what the doctor says. Okay? We had friends, there was that one of those fires over there in Simi Valley. This was, oh gosh, 10, 15 years ago. And it was sweeping through their whole neighborhood. And we were living in Santa Clarita. We had to actually evacuate out to Acton to some friends of ours out there because the smoke was so bad. We're watching on the TV as the fire is sweeping over our friend's neighborhood. So we stood in prayer that their house would be protected. And I called them up, and although they couldn't get through because there was no lines going through at that time, no cell towers, whatever, I left a message on their machine that we were standing in faith, believing that their house would be protected. And Karen and I prayed continuously for them for a long time. Now, what happened there was the fire came up to the back of their house, the backyard, about 50, 80 feet from their house, jumped over their house to the front side, and went across, as though the angels had put a barrier protection right around. Now, we stood in faith, not in fear of something happened to them. And it was their house protected, but the two houses on each side of theirs, the same thing happened. So, praise the Lord. Okay, but we had to stay in faith. Nothing could hurt us. Acts 28, 3 and 5 demonstrates that the devil, the snake, cannot harm you. When Paul shook off the deadly snake in the fire, he did not die. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Stories. A poison snake bites Paul, snake dies. I mean, come on. That's standing in faith. Okay? Being in fear is parting with the devil's power. I pray in the name of Jesus, none of us will let ABC Church or our loved ones will depart from the faith by deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I pray we all stay faithful to Jesus Christ forever. Okay. Now you can overcome fear. We've done this lots before. Jump down to number one, confess all sins, especially when in fear. Number two, repent, renounce, break, and cleanse. Now, we talked about the CRBs before, so we're going to do this now. Luke 17, 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and he repents, forgive him. Titus 2, 12, where renounce comes from. It has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. Galatians 3:3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And cleanse, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. Number three, walk in love, perfect love, cast out all fear. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears is not made perfect in love. So if you have any torment in your life, demons, devils, evil spirits are attacking you, it's a good probability you have a spirit of fear or many of you need to get rid of. Okay? Now, we've listed some scriptures to overcome fear. Please feel free to say them on a daily basis. Okay? I know this is a long review of part one, but I believe it was necessary. Refresh those who heard for the last time, commitment to other truths with a greater understanding of the lesson now. Now, fear is a demonic spirit that must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God inside you is greater than Satan and any demon, devil, or spirit, including the spirit of fear. Okay? Our goal here is to get to where we're not bothered by fear because of our faith in God. Now, repeat title number C with me. I overcome fear, for it is my foe. Okay? Fear is your foe. You're not giving to fear anymore, but recognize and get it out of your life. Okay? Fear is your foe because anything not done in faith is sin. Faith pleases God. Fear displeases God because it opposes because it is the opposite of faith. Okay? Now, we're going to make some declarations over ourselves. Okay? And we're going to do this right now together. So, as you've got your sheet of fear challenges written down, we're going to speak them over them. Okay. God did not give you a spirit of fear or timidity. Okay. So I invite you to read these declarations and repeat them with me as I do this. Okay? In the name of Jesus, according to 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give me a spirit of fear, of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but He's given me a spirit of power and of love and of calm, well-balanced mind, and discipline and self-control. In the name of Jesus, according to 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, and dread does not exist in me. But I have full-grown, complete, perfect love, which turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror, for fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so I will not be like he who is afraid, who has not reached the full maturity of love that has not yet grown into love's complete perfection. In the name of Jesus, I will not permit myself to be fearful. In the name of Jesus, according to John 14:27, thank you, God, that you leave your peace with me, your own peace you now give to me, and you bequeath to me. Not as the world gives, do you give to me. I do not let my heart be troubled, neither will I be afraid. I stop allowing myself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit myself to be fearful or intimidated, nor cowardly, nor unsettled. In the name of Jesus, I will please God and do it fearless. In the name of Jesus, I will not listen to some advisors who give unscriptural, incorrect advice to do it afraid. In the name of Jesus, I will not be in fear, which is sin, because it is not of faith and does not align with God's word. In the name of Jesus, I will stay in faith and be aligned with God's word. In the name of Jesus, I will not allow the spirit of fear to cause me to weaken, nor cause me to retreat with cowardice. In the name of Jesus, according to Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to God. So I thank you, God, for helping me walk in faith and be pleasing and satisfactory to you always. For I come near to you, God, and I do believe that you, God, exist, and that you are my rewarder, because I earnestly and diligently seek you out. In the name of Jesus, I fear not, for God is with me. In the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God enables me to overcome whatever challenges I face with confidence and boldness, using my godly authority, dominion, and power. In the name of Jesus, according to Matthew 18:18, truly you tell me, whatever I bind up and forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is and on earth must be what already admitted in. In the name of Jesus, I end up offer committed stop pressing now. In the name of Jesus, according to Philippians 2:10, that in and at the name of Jesus, every knee, including fear, should and must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. In the name of Jesus, according to Isaiah 41:10, I fear not, for there is nothing to fear. For you, God, are with me. I do not look around in terror, nor will I be dismayed. For you are my God. You, God, will strengthen and harden me to difficulties. Yes, you, God, are helping me and have caused me to overcome fear. Yes, you, God, will hold me up and retain me with your victorious right hand of justice and righteousness. Okay. Continue on. In the name of Jesus, I believe what I just declared and affirmed over myself. The word of God is true, and by faith, I declare that I have overcome the spirit of fear. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we send these prayers out right now. We cover everybody with the Holy Spirit. Give them peace right now that when the challenges come, they'll be able to stand up against fear and push it back, give it back to the devil where it belongs. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so everybody could CRB, please. You ready for communion? Praise Lord Jesus. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So Heavenly Father, we take your body right now. Jesus, we take your body right now and thanking you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed for us. We take this now in remembrance of you. We've all been completely healed by your stripes. In Jesus' name.